Good morning, dear church. It's so nice to be here with you this morning. Jesus, He is the secret of peace. This is what I wanted to talk with you about, what Jesus, He asked you and me to be a peacemakers. When you get Jesus in your life, you're going to be at peace in your heart and in your mind. While I was talking to Uncle Charles right here, he said, maybe I'm getting a little older. No. In the Bible, it so says clear what we are not getting older in the presence of God. Not at all. There is no retirement according to the Bible. We still need to move ahead in the presence of God and do the service for His glory. And we need to be a peacemakers. How can we be peacemakers? Oh, I recently heard how a young person approached me and said, Pastor, only elderly people are talking about peace, peace, slow down. Let's do it slowly. We don't need to rush. Let's do it kind of cautiously. And they are talking about peace and peace. But we, as a young people, we love noise. We love music. We love noisy music. And we love power. Oh, yeah. We love to drive with force. Oh, yeah. We would like to drive really in speed, but not like the elderly people, yeah? Oh, my dear friends. And after that, the young person asked me, how old are you, Pastor? How old am I? Well, let me think. At least I have a privilege today. Is my sister here with your friend, Flowell. Thank you so much for your testimony. And thank you for all your testimonies here. It was really a blessing. It's a privilege to be here in the Puna Church. But let me think, how old am I? I was born before the color television. No color TV on those days. Before polio shots. Before X-rays. Before fax machines. Yeah, we were living in Uzbekistan. And I remember how one of the German pastors came to Uzbekistan to do a missionary work over there. And he asked the local governor if he will send him a fax from Germany. And I should tell you, the whole local people, they all work whole night to establish and mount the fax machine in the government office. Next morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, they knock at the door of our apartment over there, and they gave me a little card which is identified. We have a fax number. You can send us a fax from Germany. Yeah, it was in actually 1996, 1997, in those years, fax machine started to move on. What about cell phones? I remember when we moved to the United States, I received my first cell phone. Huge, big, like a brick, whatever you call it. Yeah, but it used to be, yeah? All right. Now, in our days, we have so many stuff on our cell phones. And at the same time, we need to remember what we have a privilege right now to look backward and see what we used to live when it was no credit cards, no even laser beams, like this. Yeah, no laser beam in those days. And usually women work so hard to wash the clothes on their hands and did a lot of work at home. Men try to provide. And I should tell you a little bit more here. I got married first, and then we lived together. Every family had a mother and a father. We were before gay rights, before lesbian rights, and before computer dating. And even before that, AdventistSingle.com, whatever you call it. I'm not advertising, but at least it's existing right now. Anyway, at least our family lived by the and governed by the Ten Commandments and the good judgment and the common sense. Every Friday, I remember how we clean our house, polished everything, and polish our shoes and try to be ready for the Sabbath during the Friday day. And usually then when we experienced that Friday night, it was a vesper in the house, or we went to the service, and every Friday night we had a service over there. In Russia, actually, we have services Friday night, Saturday morning until 2 o'clock, no potluck, no food, no anything. And after that, people walk back home about 1 hour or so and jump on the buses, and 6 o'clock in the evening again, Saturday night service. And some of the churches had on Sunday too and Wednesday. Services, and people were walking, and it was quite a long distance. We used to live in Asia, and always my mom, she kind of shared with us, guys, as of our family, we had 8 children in the family. Our mom, she always kind of wanted to share with all the children, we need to be a peacemakers. Wherever we go, whatever place we're going, we need to be a peacemakers. We used to live in a Muslim country, among the Muslim people. And the only way how we could have approached them and introduced them to Jesus, through the peace which we are sharing with them. We need to be a peacemakers. Yeah, my dad, he loved to share with us the special his special verse from the Bible. This one, Proverbs 11:1. It says, "Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days." Proverbs 11:1. And it's absolutely true. Be a peacemaker, and cast your bread upon the waters. Don't be shy to share all the goodness and all the blessings that your Lord is providing for you. Oh, and we thought what fast food was when people are ate during the celebrating of the Passover. Yes, we were doing it in a fast way, fast food, during the Lord's Supper. Small little bread and a little cup of wine. Special, sacred celebration. In our days, oh, I should tell you, when we were doing that fast food together as a Lord's Supper communion, we always tried to reconcile. We had this fellowship. It was amazing, amazing event. I'm sure we're experiencing it in our churches right there, over here too. But what about in the real world when people are kind of attached and are trying to fulfill their needs through the fast food? They're going rush way, fast, quick, everything in the line quickly, and no peace, no reconciliation. No peace in mind. At least it used to be a long time ago. But in our days, we live in a different time. At least time sharing meant time for the family when we spent together. And everything and everybody on one weekend, we were not purchasing individual condominiums. We were living in the big homes with the big families. But right now, in our days, I receive that question from a young fellow, "Pastor, how old are you?" Everything what I'm sharing with you, it's happened in the last 40-plus years. Even less maybe than that. But despite all these circumstances, Jesus is still appealing to you and me. If we could do, if we could promote, if we could share a peace and be a peacemakers. Let us pray before I move forward into the Bible study. Our merciful Lord Jesus Christ, teach us how we can be your representatives and share your peace with this world which is always in a rush toward their goal and destination. Oh, dear Lord, help us to share the truth and the real goal which every single individual should reach for your glory. Bless us today for this Bible study. In the name of Jesus, amen. There is one misconception about peace. At least the word peace, it starts with the letter P over here, and we will go in every single letter, and we will try to explain every single word over here. But so far, there is one misconception about peace. Peace is not avoiding a problem. Peace is not running from the problem. And I'm sure you guys received already sermon outlines, yes? It will be nice for you to write this down. Did you already have the previous slide? This one. And some of the guys even asking me, "Pastor, is it happening in Hapuna Beach or somewhere else?" I said, no, it's not in Hapuna. It's just out of the internet. But so far, according to the plan of the peace talk, the first step which we really need to make in this particular approach which we would like to use this morning, we need to start with the first letter P, plan a peace talk. A lot of people simply avoiding these issues, and they're saying, "Oh, let us just don't talk about this. Let us just forget. Don't make waves. Don't even discuss about this." But unresolved conflict is like a termite in your relationships. Yes, and we need to really resolve our conflicts and be a peace makers. I'm using actually this idea of the peace from the book. Maybe for the man it will be quite beneficial in the future if you'll find it. It's called "Do Yourself a Favor, Love Your Wife." Yes. Do yourself a favor. Love your wife. Okay, how we can be a peacemakers? Plan a peace talk. This is right, the first sentence, the first approach. Okay, according to the Matthew chapter 5, it says right here, take first step and promote that initiative from yourself as a Christian, as a faithful to the Lord person. Promote this and be faithful to the Lord. If you enter your place of worship, it means when you're entering into the Pune church, right here, I'm using actually the Message version over here. I'm really amazed what in America we have more than 200 versions of the translation of the Bible. In Russia, we for a long time only had one version. Now we have two. Maybe soon we will have more. So far in the United States, you have more than 200 versions of the Bible. Just check it. It's just amazing. And I'm using right now the Message. It's almost like a paraphrase, but in reality, it's targeting the point right here. Let us see. Matthew 5, 23, 24. You always can compare that to the King James Version or the New International. If you enter your place of worship and about to make an offering, you suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you. Abandon your offering. It means just stop right there. Leave immediately. Go to this friend and make things right. Then only then come back and work things out with God. Yes, amen. You're absolutely right, dear brother. But I know what, when I'm thinking about myself even here, I'm saying, oh Lord, check my heart and research my soul. If I'm really worthy to be here at the worship service and worship here for the glory of God. So many people, they're telling me, Pastor, but this person, he's really hurt me. You know, it's really hurt. Oh yes, absolutely. But why do we need to be a peacemakers? Because God said so. And this is, I'm reading from the Sermon of Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, it's a Sermon of Jesus. This is the words of Jesus. And he's telling, leave your stuff. Go out of your worship service. Go out of the Pune church right here. Go back to your place wherever you needed to experience that reconciliation. And after, only after, come back and worship here in the presence of God. The next verse, it says in 34 verse 14, according to the Psalm, turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. Search for peace. The letter E, emphasize with their feelings. Emphasize with their feelings. The next outline, write this down, please. Emphasize with their feelings. According to the First Peter, we need to pay attention, what we need to emphasize with their feelings. According to the First Peter, chapter 3, verse 8, it says, sympathize with each other, love each other as brothers and sisters, be tender-hearted, and keep a humble attitude. We need to keep a humble attitude. So far, my dear friends, if you would like to do a reconciliation, you should do it immediately as soon as possible. But please, don't do it when it's already past 10 o'clock p.m. and it's came to your mind idea, okay, let's do the reconciliation now. I can't sleep anymore. I need to do it immediately right now. Too late, brother. Too late. Do it from the early in the morning. But in the same time, maybe if it's convenient for the both parties, maybe it's still okay. Even recently, I experienced the privilege to see how two families reconcile about 12 midnight right in our house. And they reconciled, they were crying, they were praying together. And I was so happy to see how the Lord creating a miracle, even in our days, right here on a big island. At least, according to the 1 Peter 3:8, it says, sympathize with each other. This is what I recently discovered for myself. The next verse, according to the 1 Peter 3:7, it says, in the New American Standard Bible, it says, you husband, in the same way, live with your wives in understanding way. How many of you already read this verse and studied this verse before? I'm sure what you already heard this verse before. That's quite interesting to notice. But according to this particular translation, New American Standard Bible, it says, in understanding way. My dear beloved, oh, my dear friends here. And so many times, we as a man and we as a woman talk in different languages. It's like Spanish and English. Absolutely. Yes, and we have a lot of misunderstandings because she's talking in a woman's language and I'm talking in a man's language. And so often then my wife is telling me, Chris, could you just listen to me? Oh, and immediately my logical points of view over here coming out from the left side of the brain, and I'm saying, okay, let me just share a few points by points. She said, no, I don't want you to resolve the problem. Just listen to me and nothing else. Just listen. And this is what we need to be trained. This is what we need to learn, how we can listen in order for you, when you would like to do that reconciliation act, first of all, what you need to do, you should go to this family, you should go to that person and listen first. And after that, pray in your heart and try to work this out as a reconciliation moment. At least, yeah, maybe you'll say, there is no way, Pastor, you have no idea, you don't know my wife. Yes, you're absolutely right. I have no idea about your wife. But I know what I can do all things through Christ Jesus. And he's doing what? He's strengthening me. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. How many things? Just a little bit? No, I can do all things. And this is a privilege. Yes. Let me share you an illustration here. This is what one wife said. I know you believe, you understand what you think I said, but I'm not sure you realize what you heard is not what I meant. It's happened sometimes. I don't know how it's happened in your family, but it's happened in my family once in a while. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Because it's so hard sometimes for the ladies when they're sharing something. It's just so complicated. Yes, and this is what Sigmund Freud shared, actually, one of the quite well-known psychologists. Despite my 30 years of research into the feminine soul, I have not yet been able to answer the great question in his life, what does a woman want? And no wonder why Peter, in his testimony here, he's saying, in 1 Peter 3:8, he's saying, live in understanding way. Try to understand your wife. Try to find this way when you will understand your soul. Okay, according to the Romans, Paul is telling us in verse 5, verse 12, we should help others do what is right and build them up, be a positive, share with them a good positive ideas. And beside this, we need to remember what we need to be a peacemakers. We need to always be a peacemakers because people, they don't care how much I know until they know how much I care. And this is how it's working. People, you have no idea how much you really wanted to share with them, how much you really know. But they are searching and they are looking at you and they want to see if you really care for them. Because you need to place yourself in their shoes. In other words, it means you can place yourself in their moccasins. You can place yourself in their shoes. According to this, Romans 5:12, it's quite interesting to see what he's writing to the Philippians. Each of you should look not only on your interest, but also in the interest of others. It's quite interesting to read the same verse in original, in the Greek version. It says right there about the Greek word skopos, which means where we can get this idea of the skopos from. It means it's verse reminding me about the actual Mauna Kea mountain here. We are looking at the skopos. We are looking at the telescopes when we can focus on. We are looking at the microscope, stethoscope. Skopos literally means to focus on, to pay attention to. If you want to make peace with somebody, you got to change the focus from just looking at this. What you need, what is your hurt, what is your need, what you want, what you fears, what is your doubt. By focusing at the other person, on his needs or on her needs, being unfocused on their hurts and on their desires. And so far, as you will do this in a peaceful manner for the God's glory. And the reason why people are hurt others, because they are hurting inside. The old pastor shared with me, and this is what I would like to repeat many times, and even in my own life for myself, hurt people hurt others. Hurt people hurt others. Because they are hurting themselves, and they are hurting everybody else around them. People are losing jobs. People are changing places. But the hurt people are hurting others. What we need to do? We are peacemakers. We are representatives of the Lord on this earth. What should we do? Step forward and share the good news with the others. At least, We need to move ahead here. And as we will look right now on this whole complete situation, we need to remember what we need to attack the problem, but not the person. Before we'll go to that, I wanted to share with you what the key to intimacy is: a conflict. If you never had any conflict, or maybe I should not even discuss about this, but so far, you always need to remember what every single conflict is bringing. If you will resolve this conflict, it will bring reconciliation, it will bring joy, and it will bring peace. Even as we're looking at the whole entire universe, it's amazing what the Lord is sharing with us. We have a great book by the name of The Great Controversy. How many of you read Great Controversy? Powerful book, really powerful. Great Controversy. Why God allowed for us to experience that on this earth, to have this book and to know this truth about the really what's happened over there in heaven? Great Controversy. God could have killed Satan instantly in the moment, but he allowed for this great controversy to continue from heaven and transfer that to this earth. And now you and me, we in the battle of this great controversy. But Jesus Christ, until the moment of the old rugged cross, he was accused by Satan and the evil angels. The whole entire universe were looking at God and at Jesus, and they had no idea why he was patiently waiting in peace until the appropriate moment. Why? Simply because for the whole entire universe, God wanted to show who is right and who is wrong until the time on the old rugged cross when he shared his last words. And what was his words over there? It is finished. It is finished. Why he shared these words? Because it is finished. Because the whole truth was revealed right there. Satan was accusing God. What God is not loving his children. God is not loving humankind. Satan was accusing God. But God said, no, I will not gonna say it by words. I will prove it by my deeds and my acts. And he showed publicly for the whole entire universe what he died for you and for me. And now we are looking at this: attack the problem, not the person. You need to attack the problem, not the person. According to the Proverbs 10:10, oh, how I love this much in verses, people who wink at wrong cause trouble, but a bold reproof promotes peace. People who wink at wrong cause trouble, but a bold reproof promotes peace. When we lie to each other, we are only hurting ourselves and we are only hurting your relationship. What are you pretending so often is not a problem in your relationship, but what are you pretending not to know what is the problem? Because usually the problem is just right in your heart, right there in you. And you need to start to work right from yourself. Don't wait until somebody will gonna approach you and ask for forgiveness and say, oh brother, you remember so-and-so happened so many days ago, so many years ago. Don't wait for that person. Please make your first step forward. According to Ephesians 4:15, instead, we will speak the truth in love, drawing every way move more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body and the church. We're the big church of the Christ body. No wonder God even taught us how to pray when he said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We have our Heavenly Father. We are all one big accord. We are all one big church. And now I would like to share with you simple rules over here, which we would like to look at. Don't use full or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful. Be positive. Be the one of those who is always encouraging and not say, no, it's not going to work. My dear friends, when we used to work overseas, in Uzbekistan, trying to organize a new church. We came over there in 1994, no church, no Seventh-day Adventist presence, no anybody over there. Okay, we entered into the city. Used to be closed city. Only KGB guys were searching everybody who is religious and so on. At least we entered over there. Even my grandfather, he wanted to work on that city, but he was not received permission to move and start to work over there. When we started our work from house to house, from door to door, in the 7 years in that period, the Lord provided for us 140 souls. Before we left, they had the church with 140 members. What I'm trying to share with you, what everything is possible, if you will just set a goal and say, everything is possible with the Lord. At the same time, when you're thinking, oh, there is no way for me to have this reconciliation, because I know, and this is why I'm sharing this. Some members are going to Hanukkah church. Some members are going only to Hilo church. Some are already driving to the corner site, simply because they have no peace and reconciliation with some other families, and they have a hard time to be in the same presence with each other in the presence of God. What is really happening here in the Big Island? Let's pray about this, and let's see what we can do to go step by step, seven rules for fighting fear in a relationship. Never, never compare. Never say, oh, why can't you be like that Auntie Naree? Oh, she met me right by the door today. Beautiful lady. She hugged me so nicely. And I really said, oh, how. And you know what she said? I'm a Filipino. I said, how nice. Praise the Lord. It's so great that you're a Filipino. Because I'm Russian and we are all in the presence of God, came to worship. Yeah, never compare. Oh, yes. And I can share with you a little bit more. When I was at the seminary, I was quite young and not experienced. Nobody trained me over there. No, I never went through the marriage counseling and we got married. The first question which I received from my pastor, before the actual wedding moment, he just asked me and my wife if we had any sexual relationship. I said, no. He said, okay, now I can marry you. He married. And after the wedding, he immediately told us, never, never think what your marriage is a mistake. Never even think about this. Good suggestion and right to the point. If you will simply think about this, someday it may happen. But if you will not think, but pray and praise to the Lord, you will never compare your marriage with somebody else's marriage. And never criticize. Oh, please, never criticize. Because fathers, oh, please, just be a good example. Don't sit in front of the TV only or do something what you are doing on your own and you are not teaching your children. Don't say, you should, you oath, you must, you should be ashamed of yourself. It is your own fault. Oh, this is not absolutely uplifting. Don't criticize, please. And after that, never, never dictate. This is what I wanted to share with you. Never command. This is quite a serious statement over here. Never end an argument by force. I demand you what you do, what I say. There are already an adult people. We are all human beings. God is responsible for us, what we exist in this world. But you see, maybe some of the young people will ask me right now, Pastor, what about the Ten Commandments? It says commandments. God is commanding. Absolutely. 10 rules in the Bible. 10 commandments. Great. But you need to remember the character of God. You see, when Jesus Christ, in the last book of the Revelation, sharing with us his good news, he's sharing these words. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and open the door, I will come and eat with him and he with me. Oh, yes. This is the approach which God of the universe is using when he's knocking at the door of your heart. What about the commandments? What about the 10 commandments? Oh, it's so simple. Because even God himself said to us, if you love me, keep my commandments. And never challenge, please. Don't threaten people. Just try that and see what happened. The most commonly items used in the threatening of other people are money, sex, and divorce. Please never humiliate. Never humiliate. Never say anything like this and never put it down and ridicule or play kind of psychologist. Oh, I know why you do that. I know all about you. I know what you're trying to plan. Please, you see, you need to remember, you can't figure out even your own motives simply because we are human beings. We are sinful. And please, don't play a historian either. I'm not trying to say hysterian, but so far, you need to remember what so many of us, we remember all the small details. We remember everything that's happened in the past, and we cannot let it go. Why? Don't carry that on your shoulders. Relax. Enjoy what the Lord is providing for you. Never contradict. Never interrupt in the middle of the conversation, in the middle of the sentence, and never confuse. Try to stay in the course. If you will remember these 7 rules, you'll learn how to attack the problem rather than the person. Let's move to the letter C. Cooperate as much as possible. Cooperate as much as possible. And you will see. Well, this is really an amazing topic over here. Cooperate as much as possible. I remember how, I think, Isaac, you shared with me what you opened the Bible. And the Bible opened right in exactly the same location where you wanted to find the text. It's happening not often, but it's happening to me once in a while too. It's exactly what happened with me when I found this story, and I put a story on a screen for you. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 17 through 19. When I was preparing this sermon, going through concordance and trying to find all the matching verses and the title of the peace, 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 how we can be a peacemakers, I found this story. And it says right here, "So Naaman, please let me, your servant, be given as much earth as a pair of moles can carry. For your servant will never again make burnt offerings and sacrifices to any other god but the Lord. But may the Lord forgive your servant for this one thing. Oh, when my master entered the temple of Rimmon to bow down, and he is leading in my arm, and I bow there also when, and I bow there also when I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord forgive your servant for this." Oh, and Elisha should have said, "No way, you will lose your membership. No way, it's not supposed to be done this way. Just stay away from any other churches." You know how many times I already received the same particular question when people are asking me, could I go with my wife, for example, or with my husband, to his church and visit the Catholic Church or visit some other churches? Could I go to that particular celebration? What should we answer as the Seventh-day Adventist? This is what Elisha said. This is what he said right here. He said, "Go in peace." Because it's not up to us to make this judgment, but our first step is supposed to be how we can cooperate and build a relationship. We need to make that first step forward to build a relationship with the person, create a discipleship environment, and after that, little by little, to introduce him to the full message and to the full gospel. And first of all, maybe you need to go even with your husband, with your wife, or somebody to another denomination in order for you to reach them for the Lord Jesus Christ through your personal relationship with them. According to the Hebrew 12, verse 14, it says, "Make every effort to live in peace with all men and be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord." I'm not sure if you have this in your outline, this particular verse. It will be nice if you write this down. Hebrew 12, 14. It's a powerful passage. Another interesting thing, what I wanted to share with you, when I was preparing this message, I found out what we have in our days, myth about incompatibility. How the husband and wife, oh, they're fighting so often, and they're saying, "We are incompatible. We are incompatible." Let me read to you something over here. So-called incompatibility is a myth invented by the jurists. Who are those jurists? Anybody knows? In our days, we call them lawyers. There's so many of them are good, great people, but so many of them are creating and inventing something unusual in order to plead for divorce. It's likewise just a common excuse people use just to hide their own feelings. Misunderstanding and mistakes can be corrected where there is an willingness to do so. The problem is the lack of complete frankness. What is frankness? It's honesty. It's openness. What about Dr. Paul is telling us here? "I don't believe incompatibility exists. Almost any two people are compatible if they try to be so." At least what we need to do as a peacemakers, we need to promote peace and a reconciliation. My dear friends, according to the James chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness." If you plant seed of peace, you're going to reap a peaceful relationship. If you plant a seed of inflexibility, you're going to reap conflict. My dear friends, we need to be open-minded and flexible. But if you plant seeds of dominance, and you can easily reach and wreck house. According to the Psalm 37, verse 37, "Mark the perfect man." Or let me read to you right from the Living Translation here. It says, "Look at those who are honest and good, for a wonderful future await those who love peace." What a privilege we have to know this truth about how we could be a peacemakers. The last letter we need to look in the word of peace, it's E, emphasize reconciliation and not resolution. Emphasize reconciliation but not resolution. There is a big difference between reconciliation and resolution. It means to reestablish the relationship, or it means resolution means to resolve every single issue. My dear friends, we are not assigned by God Himself, we are not assigned at all to resolve every single issue on this world. There is no way for you and me to resolve every single issue, but we can be ministers of reconciliation, where we can bring peace and reconciliation with all the people around us. At least, I wanted to share with you one more sentence our professor told us. At least, God meant for those differences. In fact, differences, opposite sides usually attract. Once they are married, the opposites attack. So you have to get back on track by emphasizing reconciliation and not resolution. According to the Colossians 3:15, this is exactly the verse which we were reading in the beginning. This is our text for today. This is the text for our sermon. God has reconciled us to Himself. Yes? And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart. For as the members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Always be thankful to everything what you are receiving from the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe today, this morning, if you are thinking about what is Pastor talking about here, I'm talking about opportunity for you to witness about this peace which is coming only from the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no way for you, my dear friend, to bring peace to the others if you do not have peace of God in your personal heart. In order for you to receive that peace, the only way to surrender yourself and say, Lord Jesus, I'm really struggling. I'm going through that moment in my life when it's a storm all over around me. And I'm really struggling with everything what's happening. I need your help. I need your input. I need your involvement. And Jesus is going to be closer to you, and He's going to respond to your request. And all this is from God, who's reconciled us to Himself through Christ Jesus and gave us the ministry to do what? The ministry of reconciliation. Remember the story about what Jesus did right there when He was with the disciples on the boat? Yes, right there when Jesus was serving to His disciples. Disciples were afraid for their lives. And Jesus stood right there in the middle of their boat, looked at the storm, and said these magic words, the special words, peace, be still. And now I'm thinking about you and me. If we will simply close our eyes and think about our merciful God and say, Lord Jesus, my boat is in the middle of such a huge storm. The storm is raging all over around me. In my family, the Lord, you only know what is really happening. Oh, without your help, I will not handle this storm. I really need your presence here. I really need your presence in my heart. I really need your presence in my mind. I really need your presence in my church. I really need a presence in the whole entire big island. Oh, dear Lord, please calm this storm down and help me with your peace. Bring this peace into my heart and help me share this peace with the others. And you will see what happened, because our Lord is a merciful and peaceful. And at the same time, as you will look at the screen right now, please see what He is, the Prince of Peace, our merciful Lord Jesus Christ. He's asking you right now, while He's knocking at the door of your heart, if you will let Him come in. If you will let Him to be your Master and your Redeemer. If you will be filled with the Spirit of God, if you will be filled with the Spirit of Peace, in the presence of this pressed world, when you will have storm in your life, when you will have tornado in your life, and something is wrong in your family, in your work, in your environment, you will still have peace in your heart, because while peace will come out of you because the world is squeezing you, you will simply say, let the peace of heart that comes from Christ be always present in my heart, in my heart, in the presence of my merciful Savior. My dear friends, I would like to conclude my sermon with the blessed assurance. I would like for you to sing this song with me from the number 462. Blessed.